I'm looking forward to opening the scriptures with us together and going through a word that I believe the Lord has placed on my heart for us as a church this morning. So I'm excited about that. We are celebrating an Advent season here these few weeks as we lead up to the Christmas holiday, which of course is when we celebrate the arrival of our Messiah and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as Pastor Daniel mentioned, these themes around the Advent season of hope, of peace, of joy, and of love. And we're going to kind of reflect on these themes over these weeks. We're blessed to hear from Pastor Mark Bocanegra. Last Sunday, he spoke a wonderful message on the theme of hope. I would encourage you, if you were not here last week or you otherwise did not get a chance to listen to that message, go online to our church website or the Facebook page of the church or the YouTube page of the church and pull up that sermon that he preached. It was excellent. It will encourage you as much as it encouraged me. I'm confident of that. But today, I have the opportunity and the privilege to preach a message on the Advent theme of peace. And peace is a hot-button topic these days, but really, peace is a hot-button topic most days, going back generations upon generations. Because all of us want to have peace in our lives. We want to live in peace. We want to live peaceful lives. When we consider the world as a whole, we hear this phrase oftentimes tossed around, world peace. It's something that nations strive for. And if we look more closely at our individual lives, we also strive to live lives of peace and have peace. But this is often more difficult than it seems to actually do and accomplish. We have lots of things going on in the world. Certainly nations are warring against each other, and peace is far from their minds. And if we look more intently at our own lives and in our own hearts and our own individual situations, we will see that peace is often hard to come by. We just think about all the things that we deal with as individuals, and maybe it's financial turmoil or economic turmoil. Certainly things cost more today than I think they ever have in history. It's harder and harder to make ends meet. It's harder and harder to pay the bills and to feel like you're getting ahead in life financially. Certainly we live in these bodies that seem to always break down, and we're always needing medical interventions, or we're having serious health complications or health concerns, and this oftentimes will threaten to rob us of peace. And rather than have peace, we end up having anxiety, and we end up having fear, and we end up having worry and doubt. Where do we go to find peace? Certainly our culture and society as a whole threatens our peace, because we see culture being pulled further and further away from the basis and the truth of Scripture. And we think to ourselves, how can we live in a culture when our faith is counter to what that culture, or how that culture wants us to live? How do we raise our kids in this culture? How do we live in peace in a culture that's warring against our beliefs? It's hard. Where do we go to find peace? How can we find peace? How can we live in peace? Well, what I'd like to do this morning is to present to us, church, that peace, it is not something that our government is ever going to be able to engineer or provide to us through their own initiatives or their own government policies, right? That we're never going to be able to have peace provided to us through the government. That peace is not a commodity that we can buy, sell, or trade to the highest bidder to earn ourselves or capture for ourselves peace. And peace should not be, church, just a feeling or just an emotion that ebbs and flows in our life based on our circumstances. I want to present to us this morning, church, that peace is actually a person. And the person is Jesus Christ. Peace is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. So if you are in Christ this morning, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are welcomed into His family, if you are a son or a daughter of the King, you have peace. You have been promised peace. I'd like to read a couple verses by way of introduction, to further drive home this point that peace is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. A very familiar verse out of Isaiah chapter 9 that we read often around this time of year, around the Christmas season, says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." And so we see in this passage, the prophet Isaiah actually tells us that one of the very names of Christ is the Prince of Peace. He, in his very nature, in his very self, in his very being, is peace. So if you are in Christ, you have peace this morning, church. And because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, he then gets to decide what he does with this peace that he possesses in and of himself, in his being. And in Psalm 29:11, we see exactly what he chooses to do with peace. "The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." The Lord blesses you. The Lord blesses myself with peace, because he is, in fact, peace personified. He is the Prince of Peace. So then why is it that when we oftentimes go through life, when we go through difficult circumstances, when we go through hard, troubling seasons of life, when we go through challenges, whatever those challenges may be, however they may come about, whether it be health-related, whether it be financially related, whether it be relational or cultural, whatever causes us to have difficult seasons of life, which we all go through, why is it when we go through these seasons that we oftentimes don't feel at peace? We oftentimes do not feel like we have this peace that is described in these verses. Well, simply put, we are all flawed humans. And so we oftentimes will lose sight of the promises that we have in Christ Jesus. We will lose sight of the promise of peace that has been given to us through Christ Jesus. And so what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to share with us, through a story, a very familiar story in the Gospels, three truths or three reminders that I'd like to give to us this morning that we can take with us and that we can use and apply to our lives when we find ourselves going through difficult times, when we find ourselves going through hardship, when we find ourselves going through seasons of trouble, storms of life. We can take these truths from this story and we can remember them and we can allow them to usher in peace into our hearts and into our minds and into our souls. This story is found in 3 out of the 4 gospel accounts. And actually, when Pastor Jeff spoke a couple weeks ago, he touched on this story. And I was a little nervous that he was actually going to preach my message for me, and I was going to have to find something else to preach. But thankfully, Jeff just did a brief flyover of this story. And this morning, I'd like to take a little bit of a deeper dive into this story. Now, it's found, like I said, in 3 out of the 4 gospel accounts, and I'm of the mind that if you have a choice as to which gospel account you want to read from, you might as well choose the one that shares your name, okay? So I'm going to read from Matthew's account. We're going to give Matthew a bit of airtime this morning. We're going to read from Matthew 8, 23 through 27, and this story is very familiar to all of us. This is the story of Jesus and his disciples getting into a boat, sailing out onto a lake, and then encountering a violent and very terrifying storm. And so, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can open them up to Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. If you do not have your Bible, we'll have the words up here on the screen above. You can follow along. Matthew 8, 23 says, "Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us. We're going to drown.' He replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" And so the first truth, or the first reminder, that I like to pull out of this passage this morning is this: that peace comes from knowing the nearness of Christ in our troubles. Peace comes from knowing the nearness of Christ in our troubles. Or to put it in context of this story, when we are going through difficult times, church, when we are going through hard times, when we are facing troubled times, seasons of difficulty and hurt and pain and challenge, we have to know, we have to believe, church, that Jesus Christ is in the boat with us. We have to believe He's in the boat with us, church. The disciples in this story didn't get it. They didn't believe this. They didn't understand this. Or they lost sight of this truth. You see, they should have had more peace in this situation. They had their Messiah. They had the Savior of the world in bodily form in this boat with them during the storm. And yet they were still afraid. They were still scared. They were still terrified that they were going to drown. Not only was Jesus Christ in the boat with them in bodily form, He was sleeping in the boat, which would tell us, or tell me at least, that He was not panicked. He was not worried. He was not fearful. He was not caught by surprise at what was going on. He was at peace. The disciples could have, should have, observed their Savior Jesus in the boat with them at peace, and that could have given them peace. And so it is with us, church. We must, when we are going through difficult times, troubled times, we must observe. Yes, we will not see Jesus in bodily form right in front of us, but we have to observe into our hearts, into our souls, into our very being that Jesus Christ is there through the indwelling of His Spirit. He is near, church. He is in the boat with you. How many here have ever flown on a commercial airline before? Surely, we've all gotten on a plane and we've flown from one city to the other city on a commercial flight. Sometimes, when a plane takes off from City A and flies to City B, it will oftentimes fly through a storm. And sometimes when that plane is flying through a storm, it will encounter turbulence. How many have been on a plane when it's encountering severe turbulence? It's shaking and rattling and rolling and maybe dropping in altitude, and very scary things might be taking place on this plane. And for some people, it's a very terrifying experience. What you might do in this situation is you might observe, what are the flight attendants doing? How are the flight attendants reacting to this situation? You might look at the flight attendant's face and you might observe their facial reaction. You might say, are they scared? Are they worried? Are they terrified? Let me tell you this. If you look at a flight attendant on a plane that's going through turbulence and they have fear on their face and they're maybe bolting down the aisle of the cabin or to the front or to the back to buckle into their seat, your plane's probably going to crash, church. I just let you know. But what you're probably going to see, most likely, we can ask Athena this, but what you're probably going to see is complete peace, complete calm on their face. It's like nothing's happening. They're in the aisle serving drinks. The plane's rocking and rolling. They're passing out snacks. They're answering questions of the passengers. They're carrying on like nothing is wrong. Well, so it is with us, church. Jesus Christ is in the boat with us, and He's not freaking out. He's not panicked. He's not worried. He's not concerned. He's not scared. He's not caught off guard. We can observe in our heart of hearts and in our soul that He is at peace. And when we observe that He is near and He is at peace, it gives us peace. Psalm 73:28 says, "But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge." Isaiah 54:10 and verse 13, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you." And verse 13, "All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace." One more verse, Psalm 91, verse 1 through 2, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." I love Psalm 91, and I love these two verses because we notice in this verse the psalmist says that we will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, if we are going to rest in the shadow of something, we have to understand that that something, that object, is near to us, right? How can you rest in a shadow unless that object is near to you, right? The shadow is not going to cast very far. The shadow is not going to cast its shadow very far. We have to understand that if we're going to rest in the shadow of the Almighty is near, church, because that's the only way that we can be in His shadow. Peace comes from knowing the nearness of Christ in our troubles. Well, the second truth or reminder I'd like to give us this morning is that peace comes from knowing the sovereignty of Christ in our troubles. Peace comes from knowing the sovereignty of Christ in our troubles. Or to put it in context of this story that we've read, He commands the weather, church. I have to believe that when the disciples had this experience with Jesus, it was a pivotal moment in their life. It was a pivotal moment in their walk with Christ. See, up until this point, I don't think that they really had a firm grasp on just how sovereign and how powerful and how all-knowing and how in control their God was. If they had known that, they probably wouldn't have been freaking out in the boat and worried about drowning, because they would have known that this all-powerful, sovereign God was in the boat with them. But they didn't. They were worried. But in this moment, when they really got a grasp of just how sovereign and how powerful and how in control their God was, I have to believe that this changed the trajectory of their life. That they started to understand that if my God is with me, what's going to hurt me? What's going to go against me? How am I ever going to be in an issue where I'm not going to be able to overcome it? They're going to know that their God is sovereign. And so it is with us, church. We have to know that when we're going through difficult times, when we're going through hard times, that God is sovereign in our lives. We have to get a glimpse of just who this God is. Who is this Christ that we have a relationship with? Who is this Christ that has covenanted Himself to us? This is the God of the whole universe, church. This is the God who placed the planets into motion. This is the God who placed the stars into the sky. This is the God who created all the mountain peaks, who created all the valley floors, who created the rivers and the oceans and the lakes. This is the all-powerful Creator God who is in the boat with you. And not only is He these things, but He is also intricately aware of your individual needs and circumstances. He is intricately aware of your situation that you're going through. He formed you in the womb. He knew you before you were born. He has numbered your days, and He knows the number of hairs on your head. This is the sovereign God who is in control of every situation of our lives. To help paint this picture even further, I'll draw our attention to Colossians 1, verses 15, to get yet more of a picture and a glimpse of just how sovereign this Christ is. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Are we getting a glimpse? Are we getting a picture of just how powerful, how sovereign our God is, church? Psalm 89, 8 through 9. Who is like You, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and Your faithfulness surrounds You. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, You still them. And Jeremiah 32, 17. Ah, sovereign Lord, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for You. And so, church, when we find ourselves in difficult situations, we find ourselves going through hardship or trouble, seasons of life that are painful and suffering abounds, we would do well, church, to expand our vision, to lift our eyes up and get just a picture and a glimpse of just how powerful and just how large and how grandiose and how sovereign our God is, not only over all the earth, but also over our individual lives. Peace comes from knowing the sovereignty of Christ in our troubles. The third point, the third truth or reminder that I'd like to share with us this morning from this story in Matthew chapter 8 is that peace comes from knowing the intervention of Christ in our troubles. Peace comes from knowing the intervention of Christ in our troubles. Or to put it another way, and to put it into context of this story, that He is able to speak into your situation. Christ is able to speak into your situation. In this story, when the disciples woke Jesus from His sleep, when He rose up and He stood, He observed what was going on. He observed this terrifying and violent storm. He didn't just stand there. He didn't just say, you know what? Disciples, you're on your own. Figure this out for yourself. He didn't just go back to sleep and say, why did you wake me up? I'm tired. No, what He did was He acted. He spoke. He said, be still to the wind and the waves. And they were still. Jesus is able to speak into your situation just like He spoke into the situation that the disciples were facing in this story. This isn't the only time that Jesus spoke directly to an individual who was going through a very difficult time, who was going through hardship, who was experiencing severe pain, a tumultuous situation. I want to, by way of these other stories, I want to be able to go through these stories one by one and show us that Jesus is in fact speaking into the situations of individuals in the gospel account, and He's also continuing to speak to us today. So I want to take a look at four different stories out of the book of Luke and show us that, in fact, Jesus is in the business of speaking into the situations of His people. The first one is found in Luke 4, 35 and 36, where Jesus casts out a demon. Jesus says, "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly, "come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power, He gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." Jesus says to the wind and the waves, "Be quiet!" And the wind and the waves are still. Jesus says to the demon-possessed man, "Come out!" And the demon comes out. Luke 5, 12 through 13, Jesus heals the man with leprosy. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus speaks to the wind and the waves. He says, "Be quiet, be still," and it's calm. He speaks to the demon-possessed man, "Come out," and the demon leaves him. He speaks to the man with leprosy, "Be clean," and he's immediately clean. Luke 5:24, Jesus heals the paralyzed man. So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Come out. Be clean. Get up. Jesus speaks into the situations of individuals who are going through difficult times. One more. Jesus raises the dead son in Luke 7:14. Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Jesus is able to speak in to your situation, church. He spoke in to the disciples' situation on that boat. He said, "Be still," to the wind and the waves, and they were still. He spoke into the life of the man who was possessed by a demon. He said, "Come out," to that demon, and the demon left immediately. He spoke to the man who had leprosy. He said, "Be clean," and the man was immediately healed and clean. He spoke to the man who was paralyzed, who could not walk. He said, "Get up," and the man got up and walked. He spoke to the son who was dead. He said, "Arise." The young man arose and was living yet again. Jesus still speaks today, church, and he's still speaking, and he still can speak into your situation. So whatever it is that you're going through now, or whatever it is you may go through in the future, take heart and know that Jesus is active and he's able to speak into your situation. He's able to bring deliverance. He's able to bring peace where there seems to be no peace. Peace comes, church, from knowing the nearness of Christ in our troubles. Peace comes from knowing the sovereignty of Christ in our troubles. And peace comes from knowing the intervention of Christ in our troubles. I'm going to close with a few remarks here, but I want to invite the worship team to come back up at this point. We're going to prepare. We're going to sing a few times this song, "The Blessing." But I want to close with this. In order for us to feel the nearness of Christ, in order for us to experience and to believe in the sovereignty of Christ, and in order for us to experience the intervention of Christ, we must be first included in the family of Christ. Yes. You see, this peace that I'm talking to us about this morning, it's not something you're going to find on a shelf in a store. This isn't something you're going to be able to trust your government to provide to you. This peace is supernatural, church. This peace comes only through the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's available only to those who are in the family of Christ, who have been grafted in to his family. Philippians 4:7 says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds," where? In Christ Jesus. This peace is found in only one name. This peace is found only in the name of Jesus. And so, if you have Christ this morning, if you are in Christ this morning, if you profess faith in Jesus Christ this morning, this peace is yours. It belongs to you. You hold it. You have it. It will walk with you through the most violent of storms. It will be near you. His sovereignty will rule over every situation that you encounter. And he will be able to speak into those situations. When we root our lives in the truth of the gospel, we stop trying to save ourselves. We stop trying to manufacture our own peace. We stop trying to obtain peace for ourselves through worldly means, because we know it doesn't work. Instead, when our lives are rooted in the truth of the gospel, we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we let his indwelling of his Spirit be our peace. I'm going to close with a quote from a Charles Spurgeon sermon that he preached some 100-plus years ago. There was a congregation sitting just like you guys are sitting now, listening to the great Charles Spurgeon preach a message, and they heard these words, just like you're going to hear them this morning. "No peace is to be found out of Christ. No peace can warm our heart while we forget Christ. He is our peace. Never go, dear brethren and sisters, for your peace to the law or to your own experience, to your own past achievements, or even to your own faith. All your peace is in Jesus. Do you believe that this morning, church? That all your peace that you would ever need for every situation is only and ever found in the name of Jesus Christ. Would you stand to your feet this morning, church? And I'd like to offer to every single person here an opportunity for prayer. The first group I want to offer prayer to is if you're here this morning, I don't know everybody here. If you're here this morning, you say, Matt, I hear this message about peace. I understand it's a supernatural peace that can only come through the blood of Jesus, but I don't know this Jesus. I don't know this person that you're preaching about, this Christ. I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I have not asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. If that's you this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to make that commitment so that you can be a part of His family. You can be included in the family of Christ. You can be grafted in through faith into the promises of Christ. And the second group that I want to pray for this morning is if you're here this morning and you're going through difficult times, you are going through hardship. You are sailing your boat through stormy seas. Maybe you're here standing in the stead of someone else who you know is going through difficult, troubling times. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that the peace of God that transcends all understanding would be made real in your life, that you would feel the nearness of Christ that I spoke about this morning, that you would feel and believe and trust in the sovereignty of Christ that I've spoken about this morning, and that you would believe by faith that He is able to speak into your situation. So in a couple minutes, Jacob's going to play this song, The Blessing Through. And by faith, if you're here and you stand in one of these groups today and you say, I need prayer for salvation, or I need prayer because I'm going through hell right now. I'm going through difficult times. I'm going through challenges. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's health related or medically related. Maybe you're standing here this morning because someone else that you know and love is going through something difficult. You want to stand by faith for them. Or maybe you're going through something relational. Maybe it's a marriage that's on the rocks. Or maybe it's your kids that have stop talking to you, or whatever the case may be that you're going through. I want to pray that the peace of God this Advent season would overwhelm your heart and your soul. And so by faith, I'm going to be up here on the altar, and I'd love an opportunity to pray for you. If you feel like you want to come forward and you want to lay your life down and worship the King of Kings and receive prayer, Pastor Daniel will be here. Pastor Doug will be here. Joe is here. We would love, as a church, as the leadership of this church, an opportunity to pray with you and lift you up and build you up in faith to know that you have this peace in Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. That is my prayer for you, church family, this morning, that the Lord would give you peace.